हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्णा
हरे Ishwar, I want to interrupt for a second. Krishna Rupa Mataji, can you hear us?
Yeah.
There's too much background noise coming from you. Would you mind muting right now? It kind of cancels out.
I'm already dried, but I can.
You know how to mute? Oh, that's better. Okay. Okay, Ishwar, go ahead.
So I thank everyone for tuning in this evening your time, morning my time here in India. So the discussion on the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 2. So this actually one devotee in Vrindavan who has been organizing the Gita class every evening, Bhavati Mataji. It's always referring to Bhagavad Gita as an ISKCON sandwich. Because I don't know how she got that term from. But anyway, this, because we all came to the movement, rather for hearing the Gita class. And the moment we get attracted to the discussion, that attraction never diminishes. So because Krishna is speaking, and Arjuna is listening. Of course, Arjuna is listening on our behalf. Arjuna does not really have to hear Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't have to hear any particular instruction because he's already a devotee. He's already not just a devotee, he's already a prema bhakta, he's a loving devotee. So the prema bhaktas, they don't have to listen to any particular jnana knowledge, but they do so on our behalf. Just like when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, because Lord Krishna had sent him to deliver a message so that Vrijavasi can stop feeling separation from him. So Uddhava went to Vrindavan and started preaching philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Started preaching philosophy because Uddhava is a great jnani, he's a disciple of a Brihaspati, great jnani. So he thought away his fruit knowledge away about the absolute truth. So he was preaching to the Brijavasi. But Brijavasi, they simply, you know, make a mockery of him. They say, Uddhava, you think that you know something, actually you don't know anything. Krishna is our dear life. Krishna is our life. So what are you going to tell us about Krishna? Without Krishna present, we cannot survive. So why? What are you coming here to tell us? So that we should just think of Krishna, we should just meditate on Krishna? No. So anyway, so whatever, after hearing from Pujibasi, he realized that actually this is topmost of the understanding of Krishna, which means those who are fully in love with Krishna, they constantly feeling intense separation from Krishna. So what is there for them to be known? So therefore, you realize that actually Krishna is sending to Vrindavan to actually learn the science of love of God. So this is going to be some of the discussion we're going to be, which this chapter of the Gita is going to be dealing with. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 2. The topic is Vigyan Yoga. That's the topic. Of course, it's called the knowledge of the absolute truth. Yeah, knowledge of the absolute truth. That is the English translation. But the Sanskrit meaning is the Vigyan Yoga, which is the transcendental knowledge of the Lord of Krishna. Gyanam te.
Jnanam
te
hamsa
hamsa
vijnanam
vijnanam
idam
vakshyami
ase satah
yaj
Yatva Neha
Guyo
Nyaj
Yatavyam
Avasisyate Jnanam te hamsabhi jnanam
Jnanam tehan sabhijnanam
Idam vakshyami aseshatah
Idam vakshyami aseshatah
Yajyatvanaya bhuyonyaj
Yajyataneha bhuyonyaj
Yatavyam avasishyate Jnanam
teham sa vijnanam
Idam vakshyami aseshatah
Idam vakshyami aseshatah
Yajnyatvaneha bhuyonyaj
Jnatavyam avasishyate
You can please chant.
Jnanam teham sabhijnanam.
Jnanam teham sabhijnanam.
Idam vakshyami aseshatah.
Idam vakshyami aseshatah.
Yajyatva neha bhuyonyaj.
Yajyatva neha bhuyonyaj.
Yatavyam avasishyate.
Jnanam teham sabhijnanam. Idam vakshyami aseshatah. Yatgyatva neha bhuyonyaj.
Jnanam teham sabhijnanam. Idam vakshyami aseshatah. Yajyatva neha bhuyonyaj. Yatavyam avasishyate.
Jnanam.
Yeah.
Jnanam.
Phenomenal knowledge.
Phenomenal knowledge.
Te. Unto you.
Unto you.
Aham.
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 I.
Sa.
With.
Vigyanam. Transcendental knowledge.
Transcendental
knowledge.
Idam.
This.
Vakshyami. Shall explain. Ase sataha.
In full.
Yat. Which.
Gyatva.
Knowing. Na. Not.
Iha.
In this world.
Buya.
Further. And yet. Anything more. Gyatavyam. Knowable.
Avashishyate.
Remains to be known. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Dr. Vinod Swami Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and neomenal, by knowing which there shall remain nothing further to be known. Translation, please repeat. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge.
Both phenomenal and nominal.
By knowing which there shall remain nothing.
By knowing which there shall remain nothing.
Further to be known.
Right. If we could all please mute at this time.
Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the spirit behind it. The source of both of them is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord. And it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord, directly from the Lord in the cyclic succession. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes, and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practices. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known, and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas say, Yasmi Vijnate Sadaevam Vijnatim Bhavanti, which means, by knowing, everything has become known. So, Gyanante Hamsa Vijnanam Idam Vakshami Asesheta Ya Gyatam Deham Vyonyas Gyatavyam Vasishyate. So here the Lord is telling Arjuna that I shall reveal to you this knowledge which is rich with vijnana, which is vijnana means realization of knowledge. So when you know this, there shall remain nothing else to be known, which means by now that everything has become known, there are some, in Upanishad, there are some lines, some verses that say that Yasni Vigyante Sava Evan Vigyantam Bhavati. Yasni Praptate Sava Evan Praptam Evan Bhavati. That one should make effort to attain that, by which once attained, everything has become attainable. Or once you know him, that once you know him, everything becomes knowable. Once you know him, everything becomes knowable, and there shall remain nothing else to be known, because everything is within him. So this is the beginning of the following six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, by which the Lord is talking about Bhakti Yoga. Because in the last six chapters, which we have been reading and studying, so the Lord has been talking about different yoga, you know, Kama Yoga especially, Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Tapa Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. So the Lord has been explaining all various forms of yoga. And of course, when we talk of yoga, yoga means that which is devoid of desire for personal enjoyment. And stuff. Because otherwise, like some people practice karma, they want to call it yoga. The karma yoga simply means the performing of various sacrifices. But by doing so, they have a desire that, okay, by doing this particular aspect, I will gain this. Which means it's a fruitive mentality. So fruitive mentality is not yoga. Yoga means niskam, which means without desire. So the Lord has been talking about this desireless yoga. It's called niskam yoga, desireless yoga practice from karma, jnana, ashtanga. And the purpose of all this, the aim of all these various methods of yoga, the aim is liberation, is moksha, so that the living entities can eventually attain liberation from the material existence. That is the whole purpose of all these yoga procedures. However, so this is how the chapter, from chapter 2 all the way to chapter 6, it's all has been the explanation of this system of yoga. And then the last verse of the chapter 6, so it was like a sutra. Quote, sutra means quotes. So the Lord said, yoginam api sarvesham mat patinam taratmanam sadhava bhagatya yonam same yukta tamo mataha. That among all the yogis that I've been describing to you, who are Arjuna, the topmost among them, or the topmost of all the yogis, is the one who has fully taken shelter of me, full faith, which means who has become a devotee. He is the real yogi and is the best of all yogis. There are so many, many, many yogis, but the topmost yogi is the one who has become a devotee. So this verse becomes the key point which actually transports us to the next following six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, which means from chapter 7 to chapter 12, it's all nothing but Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means what is pleasing to Krishna. What is pleasing to the Krishna, not what is pleasing to the jiva. Like in the Bhagavatam said that Hayatugi Apratyata, which means what is unmotivated, what is uninterrupted, and it's actually very satisfying to the soul. So this is what's been explained from this, starting this chapter 7, all the way till the chapter 12. And through these chapters, the Lord fully explained himself. Because why did he have to explain himself? Because we have to know who the Lord is. If you don't know who the Lord is, how are you going to serve him? So therefore the Lord revealed all his opulences, how he pervaded the entire creation, how various type of people, they worship him, Especially when we get to the middle of this chapter 7, Krishna talking about the four type of people that approach him, Tatu Vidam Bhajan Tirman, that four kinds of people that approach me, who want to render service unto me. Some of them have full of desires. We call them Shakama. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, second canto, when Sukadeva Goswami, when he was instructing Pariksit Maharaj, he was saying that somehow everyone must worship the Lord. Everyone must worship the Supreme Lord. He said, Akarma Sagakamova, Moksha Kamudaradi, Chivina Bhakti Yogana, Yajitam Purushan. That anybody, it doesn't matter what kind of mentality you have, if you are full of desires, you should worship Krishna. If you have no desires, you should worship Krishna. Akarma Sagakamova, those who are desireless, or those who have desires, or those who are already situated in transcendental knowledge, everyone should worship Krishna, because by worshiping the Lord, everyone gets the ultimate benefit. Even those who come to the Lord and worshiping the Lord because they have some desires and they are worshiping Krishna, what happens is that all their desire will be fulfilled, but at the same time, they will get something much more. Because by worshiping the Lord, no one become at shortage. Everyone actually get the ultimate benefit. So that even though you are full of desires, your desire will be fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled in such a way that you will not keep going back to the Lord again and again and asking again and again for more and more benediction. And then on top of all that, you actually get back to whereby you start realizing that what is the purpose of all these amenities which I've gotten? Just like one time, there was one person who was in Vrindavan. You know, he wanted to become wealthy, he wanted to become rich. So he was in Vrindavan. Somehow he went to Sanatana Goswami, said that, "Hey, Sadhu Maharaj, please can you show me how I can become wealthy?" So Sanatana Goswami directed this person that, "Oh, why don't you worship?" He said, "Why are you asking me for a material benediction? After all, I am a sadhu, I'm a bhikshu, I'm a beggar, I have nothing. How can I give you? What kind of benediction can I give you? Master, I have nothing. I am simply staying here on the bank of Yamuna, you know, just doing Madhukari and doing my bhajan. So I have nothing to give, I have nothing." So this person said, No. At first, so many people have told me that you have a secret of how someone can become very wealthy. So please, my dear sadhu, please don't cheat me. I've heard that you have some secret. And then Sanatana Goswami was thinking deeply, and he said, "Oh, actually, I remember. There was one particular day. That day was very inauspicious day for me. Because as I was starting to take birth in Yamuna, there was a particular stone that keep coming to my foot, and I'll keep kicking this stone back into the Yamuna River. But still, the stone keep coming back. But what I did is I simply took this stone and just put it in the mud somewhere around here. I put it in the mud. So if you can find it, then you can be lucky. If you can find it, then you can be fortunate." That stone, of course, happened to be a touchstone. So this person, he was digging the earth, and then he found his stone, touchstone. So of course, he became very happy, because with touchstone, everything he touches become gold. So he was touching everything, you know, he touched the tree of his house, everything he touches become gold. So he becomes very, 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 very rich. So this is supposed to be the most valuable thing according to him. And then, after some time, even though this fellow, he has everything, then he starts thinking that if this stone is so valuable, why would Sanatana Goswami just throw it away and put it in some mud? If this stone is so valuable, which means there must be something much more valuable than this stone. So therefore he went back to Sanatana Goswami. And he said, oh, Sadhu Maharaj, I know that you gave me this stone and this stone gave me so much wealth. But how come, if this stone is so valuable, why did he throw this stone away? Which means you must be having something that is much more valuable than this stone. So Sanatana Goswami asking, okay, do you want something that is much, much valuable than this stone? This person says, yes, I want something that is much more valuable than this stone. The Sanatana Goswami saying, okay, therefore you throw it away. You throw the stone away and then you come back to me. So because this fellow, he had developed faith in Sadhu, in the great Sadhu, because that is the beginning of bhakti. First, there must be faith, must be there. It's like Shraddha. So once one develops faith, then Sadhu Sangha is possible. So this Sadhu, so this fellow, because he had developed faith in the word of Sanatana Goswami, so he threw the stone away and he went back to Sanatana Goswami. He said, okay, now I threw the stone away, please not give me what is most valuable. And then he instructed him, he said, okay, now chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This is most valuable. Because by doing this chanting, you will develop love of Krishna. So in this way, when one approaches the Lord or a devotee for some material benefit, once they get, even though one gets the material benediction fulfilled, but at the same time one gets something much more higher than that. One gets something much more higher. So the Lord is explained here that, oh Arjun, I'm going to tell you this knowledge about me, knowing which everything will be known. Vigyan. Vigyana means because there's difference between Gyan and Vigyan. Of course, Srila Prabhupada translated it to be phenomenal knowledge and noumenal knowledge. So phenomenal knowledge means the knowledge of, it's called, according to the word of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, this is the Aswaya Gyan, Aswaya Maya, which means the knowledge of the opulent nature of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord, which means how the Lord, how he pervades this entire creation, how he creates everything, the knowledge of his opulences, the manifestations and everything. This is called phenomenal knowledge. And of course, as we are reading in the, when we get to the chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, so the Lord will explain this knowledge in more detail. This is actually phenomenal knowledge. This knowledge of his opulence. And then also in the 11th chapter or so, we are going to read about the universal form of the Lord, how Arjuna saw everything within the body of the Lord. This is all phenomenal knowledge. However, there is a knowledge that is much more higher than this knowledge of how Krishna is seated in everything, how everything is within him. Much higher than this is the personal knowledge of him. This personal knowledge of him is called Vijnan. This personal knowledge of him, it's only possible only after one has developed attachment, intense attachment to the Lord. It's called Ashakti. So whereby the Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Pai is saying here, until one is situated on the platform of Ashakti, the person of my bhakti, so until that time, whatever knowledge of the Lord one has is simply knowledge of the Lord's opulence. Because this knowledge, this personal knowledge of the Lord, which has come out of realization, this is only possible only after one has attained bhakti. Because by developing a bhakti, then the Lord actually reveals himself to his loving devotees. In the many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, we find, therefore the Lord said that bhaktyamana vijanati, that only by bhakti can one know me as I am, bhaktyamana vijanati. And also, we also say bhaktyayananiya shakya, aham vidu arjuna, so that the arjuna, only by bhakti cannot be understood. This form of mind can only be understood only if one becomes a devotee. So which means the becoming devotee of Krishna does not depend on any knowledge. It doesn't depend on any knowledge because the bhakti, it has no cost. It is a hard to keep. There's no cost of bhakti. But how do one get bhakti? Bhakti is attainable only by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of his devotees. Bhakti actually comes of its own accord. So it's not that by possessing various knowledge, one develops bhakti. No, one doesn't develop bhakti by possessing knowledge. One develops bhakti by having that desire to simply want to serve the Lord, to simply want to serve the Lord and his devotee. There's one particular verse from the Bhagavatam 11. He had committed offenses by stealing all the cows and the cowherd boys of Lord when the Lord was having a picnic in the forest of Raja. But the Lord, because his desires, his enjoyment cannot be disturbed anyhow, so the Lord simply manifested the same cows and the same cowherd boys as before. So he was enjoying himself as before. So when he came to see what was happening, and he was, of course, bewildered, so realized that the Lord was simply, his enjoyment was simply going on as before. And then ultimately he realized that the Lord, he had simply manifested himself in the form of all the cowherd boys and the cows that he had stolen. So Brahmaji realized his own offense. So he came and started making many, many prayers. He said, Gane payasam udapansu namanta eva jivanti samukaritam babadeya vatam stane sitam sudhidratam tanavam manobi yiripraya shodhi pagito apyasitais tudokyam. He says, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Just like last week I was mentioning about how the Lord is not conquered by anyone, he's unconquerable, but he becomes conquered by the love of his prem bhaktas, by the love of his devotees. He becomes like a puppet. He becomes like a dancing puppet in the hands of the devotee. One time, Srimati Radharani was in Braj, and he saw another gopi. She saw another gopi. Arani asked Gopi that, oh, where is Krishna? What Krishna doing? Arani said, oh, and this Gopi said, oh, Krishna is busy learning how to dance. Said, oh, Krishna learning how to dance. I thought he's called Rasaraj, he's the topmost dancer. He said, Krishna is learning how to dance. And then Arani said, oh, who's his teacher? Who's his teacher? And the Gopi replied, actually, Krishna, you are his teacher. You know, because Krishna somehow he has a reflection of you and is learning how to dance by looking at your hand, at your paintings in this way. So Krishna becomes a dancing puppet in the hands of his devotees this way. Yeah. One devotee, he was making a prayer, I think it's Raghunath Upadhyaya. He was saying that let everyone do all kind of worship. They can study the Vedas or anything. But me, I simply want to worship Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda Maharaj, in his backyard, Sri Krishna is playing as a child. He's playing in his backyard. You know. So therefore, I rather worship Nanda Maharaj because Krishna is playing at his backyard. You can see. So in this verse here, whereby Prabhupada is mentioning here that if one attains Krishna, nothing else is remaining to be attained. Nothing else is beyond attainable again. Everything becomes knowable. Everything becomes attainable. So, if higher than worship of Krishna, of course, is the worship of Krishna devotee. So this devotee is saying that let me worship Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda Maharaj, in his Bhakti Krishna explained, because sometimes Nanda Maharaj was simply calling Krishna, that, oh, Krishna, come, bring my shoe. Bring my shoe. And then Krishna was just a child, was like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And Krishna will carry, will take big effort. He will try to carry Nanda Maharaj's shoe to put on his head and go to Nanda Maharaj and bring Nanda Maharaj's shoe. Krishna was baby, you know, he would try to, even though this is the, anyway, we cannot really talk about Krishna's opulence, but he will make a big effort trying to lift Nanda Maharaj's feet, put it on his head and go to Nanda Maharaj, yes, trying to please his father. So, how can one even describe such a situation? It's not even possible. That's why, when we talk of Prem Bhakti, there's not really a word to describe it. There's no word to describe it. That's what Narottama Sakur said that Agachara, he said that Vachanera Agachara, so that there's no word to describe Prem Bhakti. There's no word to it. You cannot describe it. It's just beyond description. Because when we meditate on how Krishna is relating intimately with his loving devotees in Vrindavan, we just become amazed. It's completely undescribable. We just become amazed at how the Supreme Lord is just become like, just like any human being, any ordinary person, and just behave just like become like a dancing puppet in the hands of his own devotees. So therefore, Narottam Das and Srila Vishnu Chakravartipati, he said on this verse, which Lord Brahma had in this, which is the prayers of Lord Brahma, that Dhyani Prayasu Vipassana Mantayuga, he said, freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna, Brahman. If that's the case, then how can an ignorant person attain liberation? This verse answers the question. Brahma said, your devotees give up all endeavors for knowledge. They simply spend their time sharing your glories spoken by you and your pure devotees. Staying in their social positions, they do not travel around to any places, solitaries, anything like that. Without doing anything else, devotees pass their lives sharing topics about your name, qualities, and pastime, and they offer all respects to these narrations with their bodies, minds, and words. They use their intelligence to grasp the meaning of the subject heard. In this way, the pure devotees conquer you, although you're otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. You are not conquered by those who attain liberation through gyan. Indeed, to attain liberation from the cycle of repeated birth and death merely by hearing about you is astonishing. By knowledge of Brahman, which is but one aspect of the absolute truth, gyanis cross the ocean of birth and death. That is the meaning of the Shruti statement, freedom is possible only by understanding Brahman. So of course this philosophical explanation goes on and on. So which means in the Bhakti, whereby the Lord becomes unconquerable, there's really no definition to it. Just like we are practicing Sadhana Bhakti, like we are practicing the various regulative principles of Bhakti. Actually, this beginning process is actually not really considered Bhakti. It simply means, it's basically preparation. Because simply following the regulative principles, it's not really Bhakti. Because Bhakti means to give love to Krishna. That's what Bhakti means. For instance, Krishna become hungry. But how does Krishna become hungry? Krishna become hungry but for the love of his devotee. Krishna does not become hungry because he wants to offer him, some ati or some food 3 times a day or 4 times a day. No. Krishna is not hungry for that. Krishna become hungry when his devotee have love for him. There was one Mataji in Vrindavan. This lady, she has so much love for Krishna. So every day, she will get up in the morning, she will make different preparations for Krishna. Just something very simple to give Krishna to eat. Actually, well, normally when you get up in the morning, you're not supposed to do any form of puja, any form of worship, unless you're in a clean state of mind. You have to be nicely clean yourself, nicely bathe nicely, before you can do any form of preparation for Krishna. But this lady, she will get up in the morning, even before washing her mouth, even with the stick, which she was supposed to be using in cleaning her mouth, she will even use that stick to make some preparation and give it to Krishna, because Krishna is very angry. So the miracle is to give it to Krishna. So there was one sadhu who was observing this. And this sadhu became disturbed. He said, "Hey, Mataji, how are you doing this? How are you making this preparation in such an unclean state and using some dirty material to offer, to make preparation to give Krishna? You know, that is not recommended. That's not approved by the scripture. You know, you should follow the regulatory principles, to clean yourself nicely and make nice preparation nicely," and all that. So because the Mataji, because it's very simple, ladies, didn't have this, okay, I will follow your instruction. So she got up in the mornings and proper cleaning, dress herself nicely before you start making preparation for Krishna. So after some time, Krishna became angry. He became upset. He said, "Mataji, you are making me hungry. I've been waiting for you. What are you doing? You are making me hungry. What are you doing?" And then the Mataji said, "Oh, one sadhu told me that I should do this before I start making preparation for you." Krishna said, "What is it? I'm very hungry. I'm very hungry. For why you're making me starving? What is all this thing you're doing? You're making me starving. I have to keep waiting for you." You know, because Krishna is very hungry for the love of the world. He's not hungry by some. He's not bothered by some regulation that anybody has to follow. No, he's bothered by only when his devotee have love for him. This is called vigyan means the realization whereby when one develops intense attachment for Krishna, this is actually what called bhakti. Whereby the bhakti means love. Because in the spiritual world, there are only three things in the spiritual world. There's Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti. There's nothing else. Bhagavan, Bhakta, and then the bhakti, which is the loving relationship that is there between the Lord and his devotees. So in that spiritual world, both Bhagavan and the devotees, they have love for one another. Yeah, but devotees, they are rendering loving service to Christ, to the Lord, and the Lord is also reciprocating with the devotees. Actually, bhakti is such that it becomes a competitive thing between the Lord and his devotees, whereby the devotees are very, very eager to serve the Lord, and the Lord himself, he also becomes very, very eager to serve his devotees. So this is actually, this word of bhakti is actually a very vast topic. It's a very deep and vast topic that the only way we can actually begin to appreciate it is when we develop taste for it ourselves, because until we have to develop taste, wanting to serve Krishna. So this topic of bhakti is actually difficult to understand. So therefore, Mahaprabhu said that Brahmanda Brahminte Kona Bhogyavanju Guru Krishna Pasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata. Be that when the lineal teachers have been traveling through so many universes and all kind of planet bodies or different kind of behavior, when the lineal teachers become Bhogyavan means fortunate. When the lineal teachers become fortunate, it meets a pure sadhu. And at that time, bhakti begins. When did you meet a pure sadhu? And when that only fortunate person can actually attain bhakti. So that's what we're going to be reading, explaining towards the middle of this chapter 7. Remember, the Lord explained how bhakti is very rare to attain. It's only those who are actually very, very fortunate can actually attain this. So this is So we are in a very wonderful chapter. This whole chapter 7 is very, very full of sweetness, this whole chapter 7, because we're going to be reading so much about the Lord and how people actually serve him. So from chapter 7 to chapter 12, this is the middle part of the Bhagavad Gita, which are dealing with bhakti. And this middle part actually put inside the Bhagavad Gita, which means you don't find it at the end, you find it in the middle only. So it actually shows how bhakti is a confidential subject matter, is a confidential thing. Anything confidential is always hidden. It's not easily discovered. So because the topic of bhakti is a very confidential subject matter, so those topic of bhakti they were put within this, within the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. So only by the mercy of our acharyas, we can be able to get some understanding of this. So I'm going to stop here. If somebody wants to add something, or you want to ask a question, you can please.
Okay, I didn't mean to be on the side, so that's open if anybody has any questions or comments. I have one. Could you please back up, go back in the purport, the very last verse of Kodipasaka Upanishad? Can you chant that verse one more time?
Okay, the purport is
the very
verse. Okay. That Yasmin Vidyante, Savan Evan, Vidyantam Bhavati.
How about that? That's from the Mundaka Upanishad?
Yeah, that's from the Upanishad, yeah. Yasmin Vidyante.
Srila Prabhupada quote that verse off. Although.
Yeah, very often. Prabhupada quoted this verse very, very often.
In the purport that I have online, it's quoted that. Kasmin Bhagavato Gigate Sarvam Dham Gigatam Bhavanti. The different verse.
Kasmin is because there are quite a few of those. Kasmin means that by whom? Yasmin means by, so the Kasmin is a Sanskrit which means by whom. So there are quite a few of those verses. Kasmin Vidyante. So this Mundaka Upanishad wants to say Kasmin. Oh, this is actually the this is the way she put it on that. But actually, it's meant Yasmin. So of course, Kasmin Yasmin they kind of pretty much the same thing. Kasmin, Ka means who. Ka means who, and Ya also means who. So you know Sanskrit. Ka means so Kasmin means by whom, and Yasmin who also means by whom. So basically, a kind of. But what is in this, or what you have on Vedabase is not complete, actually. What you have on Vedabase is not complete. You know, Yasmin Vigyante Sava Evan, Vigyantam, Vigyantam means to know. You know, and of course, here now, Kasnehu Bhagavo Vigyante, he said, Kasnehu that's why this is actually from the later version of the Bhagavad Gita. So in the fourth edition, you don't find this in the fourth edition of the Gita. So Yasmin, but this is the fourth, this is actually the correct one, because I have other commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, and I properly quoted this line also. Some other commentaries on the Gita which I have, apart from this, apart from Srila Prabhupada's Gita. So they also quoted the same verse. Yasmin Vigyanti Sava Evan, Vigyantam Bhavati, that is, he by knowing him, Sava Evan means everything has become known. Sava eva vigyatam, vigyatam means to know, bhavanti means everything. So everything becomes known by knowing that person. So that's the yasna vivyante, or I didn't have to find out why the Buddhist say that is. Is that clear, Prabhu?
I'm just surprised to see it's a different verse. Not like it was previously. So in your volume, it also says Mundaka Upanishad 1-3?
Yeah, other volume, yeah, it's the Mundaka Upanishad, yeah.
But
that is coming from Mundaka Upanishad.
Is it chapter 1, verse 3?
Because there are so many, there are series of verses like that in the Mundaka Upanishad. There are series of them. Not just this particular line. There are quite a few lines like that in the Mundaka Upanishad, and also in the Sutta Sura Upanishad also. They also written there. And I have one Gita, which was commented upon by Bhakti Pradipita Maharaj, who was actually a disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he also he gave a brief explanation on this particular verse also, that as I tell you the principle of transcendental knowledge regarding my personality in detail, knowing which nothing more in this world will remain to be known by you. This is from another Gita translation. and the and this there's a reference also to this particular verse. So anyway, this actually let me look let me see if I can get the Mundaka Upanishad here. I think I have it in another file. I can get the whole because I have this Upanishad, that Upanishad I have. So I will get that particular one. But there are so many because Prabhupada gave so many lectures and he will often quote some of these verses like this. Normally, whenever you hear Prabhupada speaking, he always said that Yasmi Vigyati Bhavi, somebody even beginning Baba Tilly. He never said, say, Kasmi Bhagavu. I don't know why they put this on there actually. He did this. I mean, the second edition of the Gita. But Prabhupada, when you hear so many of his lectures, he quoted this one. It's always Yasmi Vigyati Yasmi Bhavi, like that. By attending him, by knowing him. But Prabhupada always quoted it that way.
Actually, I looked it up, and it is the way that it's given here online. It is Kasmin Bhagavato Pigate Sarvam Idam Vigyam Bhavati. At least 1-3 is. So anyway, that's just a technicality. I didn't want to belate it. Just I thought that was interesting. But what they put here is actually correct, at least as far as.
Anyway, Kasmi or Yasmi, they both mean the same thing, basically. Yeah. Ka means who, and the Ya means also who, the same meaning. It's just how it's applied, that's all.
That was a nice story about the lady on the spontaneous platform, you know, offering things to Krishna without performing the regulations. So where does that story come from? It's very nice.
You know, all these stories I've heard over a period of time, you know, by hearing from sadhus and, you know, great Vaishnavas, and also, you know, various Baptist ashrams. So many of these stories are related to
Yeah.
Because basically by hearing from the experience of others, so that's how we have some glimpse of what it is to be a bhakta.
Hare Krishna.
All right, thank you for listening.
I hope I'm not too fast today in my speech.
No, not at all. Everything was, I can understand everything. Okay, so you want to go ahead and close us up for the evening?
Yes, so anybody has anything to ask to us? For Jamastami is coming, the next 4 days in Jamastami. So I guess everybody's preparing for that.
Yeah, that's what's coming up.
Okay, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
There we can have.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada, Jai.
Jai. Haribo.
Haribo.